If you're a City fan too young to have seen Jerry Gow play, but you're aged over 40, then I'm pretty sure our special guest for the 200th episode of Forever Bristol City podcast will be a top pick when it comes to midfield players. That player is Gary Shelton. And if you know your chart hits, then you'll know today's intro music, Right on Time by Black Box, was in the top 10 when Gary signed in August 1989. The talented midfielder spent 4 years at the club, making 150 appearances and scoring 24 goals. Not bad for a midfielder. And 9 of those came as he was a virtual ever-present in the team that won promotion for what is now the Championship in his first season, 89-90, under Joe Jordan. I travelled to the Midlands to meet Gary and talk not only of his time at City, but also his overall career. We started with Walsall and progressed to Villa, Sheffield Wednesday and Oxford United. Sit back and enjoy. Okay, well, I'm delighted to say for episode 200 for Forever Bristol City podcast, I'm joined today by a key member of the 89-90 promotion season. We haven't met each other for over 30 years, but I'm delighted to say it's Gary Shelton. Gary, good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm all right. We've both got less air than we have back in the day.
A lot less air, yes, mate, yeah.
We've just been talking about that 89-90 season. It's going to feature in the conversation we're going to have. But before we do that, I'm sure people will be interested in hearing a little bit more about how Gary got into football. And I'm guessing a local West Midlands lad, you joined Walsall, and you were always going to be a footballer? Take me through that.
Well, David, yeah, I mean, I'm not from the Midlands. I'm from Nottingham. That's where I started in local football. And as I say, I ended up signing for Walsall as a youngster through a team called Parkhead United that was like a nursery club to Walsall.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed me through until I left school. And I went and had a trial. It was my team, Parkhead, against Walsall Apprentices. And it was at Fellows Park. And say after the game, we did well. We beat them 2-1. And I played reasonably well. And the chief scout then, who was Ron Dukes, introduced me to the manager. I'm trying to think of the manager. I think it was Smith. And brought my mum and dad in and said that we'd like to sign him on apprenticeship. And I'd been to loads of clubs. I'd been to Burnley, Everton, all the big, you know, quite a few of the big clubs. And my mate who played, Pat Regan, who was the goalkeeper for, because we went to a Catholic school, he was the national keeper for them, for the international side. And he went to West Brom. And I said to him, do you think he'll be, you know, do you think he'll play or do you think he'll? He says, well, I assume I will. But he never made the first team or anything like that. And he drifted out of it. But I started, as I say, at Walsall. And I thought, if I start lower and if I'm good enough, you know, I'll progress.
Yeah.
And that's what I did. And I played in the first team at just coming up to 17.
That's pretty good.
Come on as sub.
Midfield?
I played wide right, and I came on. I also remember I came against Crystal Palace,
mm-hmm.
A night game, and Big Jim Cannon was playing, and he was playing at left back. Now, me only being 5 foot, he was 6 foot four, 6 foot five,
yeah,
you know. And I thought, God, is this what I've got to come up against every week? And it just progressed from there, really. Say I played a few games for Walsall, and then,
and I guess playing in the West Midlands there then for Walsall, is that what captured the attention of Villa? Do you think you're just, or were you getting good reports in those?
I was getting good reviews in the papers, in the Pink and everything, and obviously somebody took notice. Say I didn't know Villa were watching or anybody at the time. You know, I was just happy to play, And as I say, I played on the right, I played at right, on the right, on the left. I played left back for one game. You know, so it was an experience and it was a learning curve.
Mm.
Played in the centre of midfield and just went from there. Really.
And who signed you at Villa? Was that...
That was Ron Saunders. Because I can remember I was down in... played my last game down at Exeter on a Saturday. I came home and at the time, yeah, I was living in Diggs.
And I was going to go home.
But for some reason, I went out and I had a meal and whatever. And came home, obviously late. The landlady, she was in bed. So I got up the next morning and the landlady got a call to say, Ron Saunders is trying to get hold of you. What's that all about? And all of a sudden, then the phone starts going. Doug Fraser was on the phone, who was my manager at the time. He said, where you been? I said, oh, I just went out for a meal, blah, 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 come home. He said, well, Villa's been trying to get hold of you. They want to sign you. He says, and I've agreed. And I said, well, I didn't know anything about it, Doug, obviously. So he said, you've got to get yourself to Villa Park. So I went down to Villa Park and met Ron Saunders.
What was he like? I mean, he's
Ron.
Hard as nails?
Yeah. Yeah, he was hard to, you know, work out. But what I found was that it was great with the senior players,
mm-hmm.
but with the kids, whether it was an education, he dealt with you like an iron rod. You know what I mean? Mm. Like a dad, if you like, or a school teacher or whatever teacher. He wasn't very forgiving.
Could you see he was building something there when he went? And what was it he said that encouraged you to sign for them?
Well, as I say, the reason he said, I am signing you for the future, he says, but you will be, because they were in the it was either the UEFA Cup or some, they were in some cup, and he'd got a few injuries, and he said, I want you to sign as a cover and come into the squad, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I'm only 19.
Yeah.
And as I said, that's what happened.
And who were the father figures in the dressing room there? Because as you say, you were a kid and what have you, but...
There was Dennis Morton, obviously, he was the captain. Yeah. So, obviously, he was great. But all of them, really, to be fair. All the senior ones, the likes of Jimmy Rimmer, Kemet Nort. Who else was there?
Little playing back in the day.
Brian. Andy Gray.
Des Bremner.
Desi came after me. That designed Des. There was Tommy Craig. He signed, but he didn't.
Was Gary Shaw breaking into the squad?
Shaw, he was breaking in. All the younger ones, the likes of Colin Gibson, Gary Williams, they were all coming.
And there was a big lad up front who scored. Trying to think. Centre forward.
Dave Geddes?
It was Geddes, yeah, chunky guy. Did he get the winner for Villa? And I'm showing my lack of knowledge of Villa here, but we'll think of him in a minute. Long, curly hair, beard. Bearded guy.
Curly hair, beard.
Can't remember now. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. But that year they won the league. Did you play?
I played four games.
Yeah.
As I say, when I first got there, as I say, I was only a kid and I was building, trying to get into the first team and blah, blah, blah. And I can remember, it was the last game of the season and Ron put me a sub at Arsenal. And it was, I can't remember what year, that must have been 77, 78, something like that. And he put me a sub, I never got on. But Malcolm McDonald was playing and it was one of his... I think it was his last game or thing, you know, so it was a big day. And I thought the atmosphere and everything, for what I'd come from.
Yeah.
From Wars.
Different league. Literally.
Honestly. Unbelievable. The atmosphere and everything. And I thought, I want some more of this. So then the following season, I had a good pre-season. We went to Yugoslavia, Hajduk Split and played all them. And I did really well. And then the first game of the season, was against Wolves at home. And he never said anything to me. I was in the squad, and I thought, oh, well, at least I'm in the squad. And then just before we all got together, he pulled me to one side. He says, you're playing today. Oh, God.
In a local derby.
In a local derby, you know. And it was great, you know, really was. And as I say, that season, I think I forget how many games I played, but I scored 7 or 8 goals.
Yeah, that's right. Season. Yeah. Well, that's it.
And
it's always been a feature of your game, scoring goals, as we'll talk about later, sort of thing.
Yeah. And I thought, this is good. Like, you know, I want more of this.
Yeah.
But then Ron was in all that year.
He left after he won the league, didn't he?
He left because, again, he didn't get on with the chairman.
Doug Ellis, deadly. Was it Doug?
Well, it was Doug, but before that, it was chairman was the Bendel family.
Right.
And they were sort of, Doug was trying to sort of, like, he was on the board and he was trying to get into being a chairman. And there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we didn't know about. And Ron just had enough.
Yeah.
And to say at that time, I was in and out of the team and, you know, I wanted to be more regular. And then Ron left.
And then who came in? Is it
Tony Barton?
And he won the European Cup.
Yeah.
And it was a guy, Peter. Who's the guy who scored the winner for the Villa in the Europe?
Peter Withe.
Peter Withe. That was the name I was trying to think of.
Oh, right. Really.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was, so Tony Barton came in and you had a period on loan at County. That was probably the year before, well, the year they won the league.
Yeah, Notts County.
Notts County. Sheffield Wednesday came knocking. So your first big move. So how did that come about?
Funny enough, going back to Notts County, obviously my hometown, my dad supported me.
Yeah.
My dad supported him. He was over the moon. Just I'd signed there. I only played 8-10 games. And so he was made up. And Jimmy Cyril was the manager, fantastic fella. But there was a guy who you'll recognise when I tell you. His coach and assistant was Howard Wilkinson.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So I played these 8 games and I thought I'd done reasonably well. But Jimmy never said anything, but Howard pulled me to one side. He said, look, he said, we're not going to sign you. He said, you've done well, he says, but the fee, 200,000. We can't really.
And Notts County were in a decent division then.
Yeah,
were
they were in the first.
They division. Were in the top, yeah.
Yeah, but in the old division.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him and I says, well, I can't do anything, obviously, about your side of it, but I can go back to Villa and see if you're thinking they won't come up with anything. He said, well, they're not going to come up with the cash, so you know, I've come back.
Mm.
So that's what I did. So then I didn't realise that Sheffield Wednesday were interested.
Mm.
And Big Jack was in charge then. And forgot about Howard, put him up to the side of it.
Yes.
He wasn't, obviously, he was at Notts County. So anyway, it came up that Wednesday wanted to sign me. So I thought to myself, well, I'm not really getting a look in here, which I thought I would do once Ron had gone and the new manager taken over, Tony. And as I say, I was involved with the European Cup win.
You were in the squad, but not playing as much as you should. Because you were 21, 22. Yeah, you want to get on the field, don't you, really?
Yeah. I mean, that season, when they won the league, I played 4 or 5 games. So then Ron left, and then they got involved with the European Cup. And I was sub. I always remember it. I was subbing the quarterfinals in Russia.
Mm.
And I forget who we played. But anyway, I was on the bench. Tony Morley were playing, and he got injured. And he was saying, go on, get warmed up. And I thought, I'm coming on here. I can't wait. But Tony, like Tony, because Tony only lives around the corner from here, and we always have a laugh about it. And he recovered, and he played, and I didn't get on. But it was freezing, and I can also remember, God, what am I doing here? It's freezing.
But anyway, you joined Sheffield, and this is where you played most of your games, and you enjoyed some success because within your, I think it was your second season there, you got them to the top flight. I mean, they're back in the Championship now, but they've got all the trappings of a first division Premier League team, haven't they?
They could be, definitely. I mean, when I was there, we were getting gates when we got promoted, 40,000 plus, you know, every other week. And The club is massively supported and they deserve everything, because obviously I love my time there. And
is it all under Jack? Was Jack the manager?
Jack was the manager. This is where I'm going to go back to Howard.
All right.
Because Jack ended up, Jack would be in Jack. He sort of thought he'd run his course.
Mm.
Because before Howard came in and took over, we just missed out on promotion under Jack.
Mm.
Forget where we were. But we just missed out on that. And so Jack thought, well, I've run my course here. And I think he went to Middlesbrough, I think.
Might have done.
Something
yeah.
like that. To take over there, being from the northeast as well, it helped. And as I say, Howard Wilkinson came in. Now, obviously, previously, what I'd experience with him at Notts County, saying that they didn't want me because they couldn't afford me and whatever. And I thought to myself, well, I've got it all to do here.
Mm.
You know, Howard comes in, he'll obviously want his own players and that, and I could be shown the door.
Mm.
So he come in and he got all the lads together and he said, look, he said, I know quite a few of you. I've worked with a few of you. He said, and I'll just tell you now, you're all starting on a clean slate and we'll go from there. And that's what I did. And never
the rest is history. Who were your mates, teammates, players that you had in that Sheffield Wednesday that you remember?
Oh, we had a great squad. We had a great squad. It's like the Bristol City squad when I was there. They just had it was a great atmosphere. And it just, there was Gary Bannister, who is still a great friend, but he lives down in Cornwall. I still keep in touch with him. Also, Gary Megson, who was my roommate. And we were like, because there was three of us, three Garys, who we called three amigos.
Yeah.
And we just clicked and everything went from there. Imre Varadi, when he came.
Yeah.
He was a good player, good goal scorer. Mickey Lyons, fantastic captain.
Ex-Everton, wasn't he?
Ex-Everton.
Yeah,
we had Nigel.
So good. And Nigel
Worthington. Mel Sterling.
Yeah,
the list goes on.
It's a good day.
It was great, a great squad.
Yeah. So was it Howard that sold you to Oxford, or had he moved on?
No, Howard sold me.
And Oxford were team back in the day.
They just won the Milk Cup.
Yeah,
the year before when I signed, and again Howard wanted to build, he wanted new players in, he wanted to sign Wright, the centre half from Derby. What's his first name? Oh my god.
Not Ian Wright.
No, the centre half.
Tommy?
No, I can't think. No. But anyway, it was Wright. Anyway, he wanted to sign him, so he had to finance the deal. So he sold me to Oxford for $155,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then the deal broke down and I'd left, I'd gone. So, but I only spent, I think, 18 months, 2 years at Oxford.
Yeah, it wasn't just 65 games. But as I say, and then now we get on to the interesting bit now. August 1989, you joined then third division in current money, League One, Bristol City, in a swap deal with future England manager Steve McLaren. So how did that move come about? Because there we were in the third division. What was the process? You get the call. Joe's there as manager.
I think I forget who the manager was at the time.
At Oxford. Yeah.
It could have been Evans.
Morris Evans.
It could have been Morris. But then we had Brian Orton came in, and also we had Mark Lawrenson.
Yeah.
And all three of them were brilliant. I forget how it came about, but I just got called into the office. And
the season had already started, I think.
The season had started.
Just because, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there were no windows in those days either, were there?
That's right. And just say, come in and said, Bristol City, we've set up a deal. We're going to do a swap deal.
Uh-huh.
And I went, right. I says, so what are you saying? He says, well, we'd like you to go down to speak to Bristol City. And Steve McLaren is going to come up, because he was at that Oxford before. But he got a bad injury, I think, at Bristol or something.
Mm.
And they wanted to bring him back to Oxford. So I said, yeah, fine, I don't mind.
Mm.
Because we just got relegated.
No, right.
That season.
Before. So you relegated to what is now the Championship.
Which
then,
now the Championship, yeah. That's right. And I thought, well, it's only another Division 2 division. Well, yes, another Division 2 division. I thought, well, yeah, I'm going to have a look. And how it come back, Tony Forthrop, who was the chief scout at that
was
time.
Was Tony way back then?
Yeah. And he was the one that recommended me to Joe.
Right.
So he must have been watching and came down, got on great with Joe.
And Jimmy was and there
Jimmy,
as well.
Jimmy Lumsden, you know, great pairing. And I had no hesitation in signing.
And what did he say? How did he convince you to join Bristol City? Because that season, was it eight that preceded it, 88-89? I think we got to the semi-final. We sort of kept the Littlewoods Cup. That kept Joe in a job basically, I think. Yeah, but did he say, right, I'm building, we're going to go up year?
He was saying that he was obviously he's trying to get his own team together and he wanted me as a part of it. And that's all I needed to hear, really. I mean, he convinced me then that's where I wanted to be. And as I say, he wanted to bring his own players in, build his own team. And that's what he did.
What a season that was. Let's look at some of the players and the teammates. Because, I mean, you effectively replaced a player who wasn't that bad, but you were considerably upgrade. I think it was Paul Wimbledon. But then
if you look at
that side, you were one of about half a dozen that played 40-plus games, which was a hallmark of City's 75-76 promotion season, you know, the nucleus of the side there.
Yeah.
But let's go through some of the teammates and the structure. I mean, Ronnie Sinclair and Andy Leaning. Mm. I mean, Andy's quite an extrovert, as I recall, whereas Ronnie is more conservative.
Ronnie was a quiet fella who just got on with being a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
You know, he was quite happy to just get on with it, having a laugh and a joke with all the lads, as you do, but he was very reserved and, you know, Andy Leaning was the opposite. Joker and what he got messing about.
And they shared it between them, didn't they?
They did share it, yeah. You know, which was good competition for them. They just got on with it. And you
look at the back, you look at the defence. I mean, Andy Llewellyn, ever present. Little Andy.
Yeah, little Lou.
Local lad.
Still keep in touch with Lou on Facebook as well. Smashing kid. We had some laughs together. And that's the old thing about it. The team, again, I think success with a team, if you've got a good bunch of lads and you've got that camaraderie, you get the best out of us. And there was, to say, Andy Lou, you got Rob Newman.
Well, we go through them. Look, I mean, I've got Glenn Humphreys, Psycho. Glenn,
Psycho. Here's another one.
Would he stay on the field in today's football?
Probably not. No.
He just used to
lose it. And he'd be all right for a bit. And then all of a sudden, he'd go off for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and be kicking them lumps out of everybody.
And Rob, you mentioned Rob. Rob sort of played alongside John Pender, had a few games, I think, didn't he? But then, but Rob, because he'd come in as, what, an 18-year-old, 17-year-old in 82. So he had 7 years' experience at the club. Yeah. What was Biff like as a teammate?
Biff was brilliant. You know, again, he'd just bring everybody. He'd bring everybody together on the pitch, if you know what I mean. And again, just get the best encouragers and whatever. Try and keep hold of Psycho. And it was just great.
Yeah,
you know?
He had that look about him, Glenn Humphreys, didn't he? He's just going to nut you.
Ready to, you know, like a bottle of pop.
You talk about characters. John Bailey.
Bales. I've got some stories, but I can't put them on here. But he was, again, brilliant for the club, you know, because we also had Russell, the left back.
Russell
Bromwich, who, again, like me, he had problems with his Achilles.
Did he?
In and out. And that's why I think they brought Bales in.
They did. And I remember a match at Crewe. That was in the day when I used to cover them for local radio, Home and Away. Bale scored a screamer up there, didn't we? It was a 1-0 win early season, and you could see the momentum was coming together there.
Yeah, Bale didn't score many, but when he did, he let you know about it.
Oh, bloody hell.
He never stopped talking about it for about a week, 2 weeks.
So in the middle, there's yourself, Dave Rennie.
Yeah, Dave was
good teammate. Dave, quite bloke.
Smashing fella.
Yeah.
You know, smashing fella. But Dave, I think I don't know whether we thought him as a centre half, to be fair, but then
he sort of moved out
and he moved forward,
yeah,
into midfield with me, and we clicked, and you know, we had a great understanding, and it was a good pairing, really.
Yeah, and then if you move to the forward area of the pitch, because it was that 89-90 was an attack minded team, no doubt about that. I mean, Mark Gavin,
brilliant,
a mercurial little player would be the best way to describe him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, again, loved his football, loved his horses. Again, I'm trying on Facebook. I tried to get hold of him because I think he's still up north. I think he's gone back up there, Leeds way off. I'm not sure, but great player. You know, he loved to take people on and, you know, create things. And on the other side, you got Dave Smith.
I was going to say Smudger.
Smudge. Jesus Christ, he was quick. A lot of people like used to say about his end quality, but the amount of times that he created stuff virtually out of nothing, you know, to just use his pace.
Yeah.
He caused problems.
Well, he took you down the field, didn't he? That's so right. He'd get taken out.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because his crossing wasn't varied or anything. No, you know, he'd get there. Erratic. And if he could gain you 50 yards, that was
that's it. That he was could it. Get us up the pitch, you know.
Yeah. And then Taylor and Turner up front.
Mm. Yeah, the two, yeah, Robbie Turner, another thing. I'm sure
you know a few stories about Rob. A lot
of stories about Rob, yeah, and also Bob. Bob, again, Bob was a good lad, and I obviously played against him and everything, and he did a great, did he go to?
He went to the Baggies.
He went to West Brom, didn't he, after? Yeah.
And he had as good a career, probably had a better career, more lengthy career there than he did with us, because he had two spells with them, didn't he?
That's right.
But the season for us...
from Leeds, didn't he?
He did. Well, we'd signed him in the March of 89, I think it was. Yeah, we had. Yeah. And he scored a trick, I think, in his debut at Huddersfield, 6-1.
And that was through Joe, you know, what was his connection.
The Leeds connection. Car shut went the other way, sure, I think. Went, I might think, have been. But he was a good player. But they complemented each other, those two up front, really, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. One was the battering ram, but Bob was strong. You know, Bob was strong, and he could score goals. And he got
27 in the league that season. Yeah. And talk about the cup in a second. But I think it would be true to say that if he hadn't got injured about six games from the end, we probably would have won it, because he got injured in a match against Crewe, and I remember we went to Bolton in an away game. We lost 1-0, and he sort of came back, but he wasn't ready. I think Joe tried to bring him back in, because Nicky Morgan was at the club
Nicky
then as
was
well.
There. Nick,
good player. Smashing. Underrated, really.
Very underrated. Yeah. Very underrated. Not the paciest, but...
No,
you know,
but he came in with a fair few goals. Yeah. I mean, he blossomed more after Bob left, really, didn't he? Right. Which we'll come on to. But let's look at the season. I mean, I can remember it was a Friday night, and things had gone quite well, but away to Tranmere, 6-0. You remember that one, early doors?
Oh, yeah, early. Yeah, that was early.
It sort of brought a reality check in.
Yeah, I think everything just went right on the night, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for them.
For them.
But
not for us, but as I say, for them. It just went right for them and it didn't for us.
We didn't look back. I mean, that season, 9 goals from you, most of them coming in the second half of the season when I checked.
Yeah.
But 9 goals, that's good for a midfielder, because you were always the more offensive midfielder, weren't you? Yeah, getting forward with Dave.
But I like, you know, as I say, I've always liked scoring goals and getting in the box. I was like box to box, defend at one end and get up the field as quick as I could at the other. I've always, when I started the season, I always aimed for 10 goals, 10 goals a season. I thought for a midfield player that would be average. Let's say that season I got 9. So
you got in there, and we were a free scoring side. I mean, Swansea away 5-0, saw that one. Crewe at home 4-1, Fulham at home 5-1. Interspersed amongst that, there was a tragedy of Dean Horrocks. I mean, that must have been
that was horrendous.
Was he brought in just to supplement the squad, really, to get us over the line? Because he wasn't a prolific scorer, he was just a good League One Championship player, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, Dino, he was a smashing lad as well, you know, and everybody was so shocked that when it happened, you know, we just thought...
It was after the game at Shrewsbury, wasn't it?
That's right.
I think he had played 3 games. That was his last game.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think he travelled back in the car, didn't he? I think
it was a car accident. Yeah.
I don't think he came back on the bus. I think we might have, you know, he might have got and gone the, back that way. But as I say, it was just a massive shock.
And do you think if he'd been a more established player in the team, it might have affected, because people talk about life-changing things affecting people, because he'd only just come. He was part of the squad, but
obviously we didn't know him that well. And I think if it had been there, an established thing, then it could have been worse.
Pick it up again. Let's talk about the cup run in 89-90. Got through the early rounds, and then Chelsea at home. It took a few more years for another memorable cup run, which was at Liverpool 4 years later. Sure. But talk us through that Chelsea game.
The Chelsea game, funny enough, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I watch it. I've watched it a couple of times, and we played well. I was surprised, because when you're playing in the game, you're that into it. You don't know, how well you play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was a great game. Yeah. Did Gav score in that?
Gav scored and Robbie got two.
And then Robbie got two. That's right. Yeah.
And it was awful weather. It was chucking it down.
The pitch was awful.
I think they scored a long range effort. Was it John Bumstead?
Bumstead scored.
But we did. We actually did play well. We never looked like losing that game.
No. We were always pushing forward. We were always,
And then that got it back to 2-1 when Bumstead scored, and then we got the third.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
But then after all that joy, so Bristol City, Cambridge United, 0-0 draw at home.
Yeah.
1-1 draw away. And was that in the days when you used to toss for the second replay?
I think it was.
Because it was up at whatever Cambridge ground is called.
Abbey Stadium.
What happened? 5-1.
Yeah. It was a terrible. Again, I don't know whether we did enough in the first game. It was always tight against them because he ended up being manager.
John Beck.
Yeah. He had this way. It was just awkward to play against, just the way they played. And we never really got into a rhythm or anything like that. And as you say, I'm not sure whether we lost the toss. We might have done. And we ended up going back to the Abbey Stadium, which is tiny ground.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get into it.
No.
On that night.
Very disappointing. But as they say, we can focus on the league.
Yeah, that's what we're
saying. And Joe and Jimmy, you said they complimented each other. Was it good cop, bad cop? Because Jimmy was a genial sort of Scotsman. Yeah.
Jimmy was the assistant that could put your arm around you and talk to you and thing you like, and get the best out of you. Joe. He was hard on the pitch. He was hard off it, but he was fair. If you gave 110% for him, he would always, give it back to you. And that's the way I looked at it. But Jimmy was, he was great. He was like, Joe was always away from you. He'd come into the dressing room, and as soon as he come in, we might have been laughing. As soon as he come in, boom, he was quiet.
He was like Peter Taylor was to Cluffy, I guess.
Yeah.
Jimmy was.
Yeah. Jimmy used to be laughing.
True to say that you respect a guy who's played in 3 World Cups and achieved, so he commands that respect.
Definitely.
But then how does player, just going off message here slightly, how does a, and he's got a bit of bad press this week, Mourinho, but Mourinho, not a playing career, yet he has managed to instill that same respect, maybe not so much in recent years. What makes good, we're talking about managers, and you've mentioned some names that we all know, who's been the best manager that you've ever played under? When the chips are down, maybe it's good when...
I always go back to Howard Wilkinson. He was an ex-school teacher. He never really made it as a footballer. He was a footballer, but he was like lower leagues and whatever, and I think in non-league as well. I think he played for Boston United or something. But that school teacher background, he is without doubt, the most manager that he never sort of like... Everything was, it got to be spot on. Everything, it was meticulous the way he did set pieces and everything was, we'd be on the training ground on a Friday before a game. We'd be on the training ground for like 2.5, 3 hours, maybe even longer. just going through set pieces.
And drilling you
and
in.
Drilling him in. And
who was his assistant? Who was Howard's assistant back then?
Peter Eustace.
Peter Eustace, who also played for Wednesday.
They were a good foil for each other.
So Howard, because just his organisation as much as anything. Oh, yes. He became technical director of the FA, didn't he?
Yeah. England, he managed England on the 21s and things like that. You know, it was just meticulous what he did.
The end of, Bristol City, we dominated the league that year.
Mm.
But I can remember on a Tuesday night at shit tip of a ground called Twerton Park.
Yeah, yeah.
And a bloody gas, 3-0.
Yeah, that was a terrible night, yeah.
I'll tell you this story from my part. After the game, there was no press room there. And I was out in the car park with Peter Dodsith, Richard Latham, and what have you. And put the microphone in front of Joe. I managed to get in first before Phil Toll. And I said, I think I asked him one question. The second one was, do you think they showed more commitment than you tonight, Joe? Turned around, walked away,
yeah.
Left everybody. Yeah. It must have been gutting.
We were absolutely gutted, yeah. But again, I don't know why, but Bristol Rovers had something.
Indian sign.
Yeah, over us. I don't know why. We prepared everything. We did everything right. As you say, things were going great. And you, as you say, you go to that shithole. And basically, and you get turned over like that. But again, you know, they had Penrice and they had the big... what was his name? Centre forward.
Devon White. Yeah.
He caused.
Jeff Trenyman playing Jeff, back in the day? You know Jeff's retired now.
Yeah, I know. I did a thing with Jeff on the radio for Bristol last year, I think it was.
Right.
And we became good friends.
Yeah.
You know, to say we were rivals. You know, you had little Holly in midfield. Oh. You know. It was just.
He's a character.
Yeah, he's brilliant. Again, I keep in touch with him. And it was just one of them things. We couldn't get our head round why we lost that game 3-0.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like saying about commitment, and it wasn't that. It was just the fact that for some reason, physically and everything, we couldn't cope at it that night.
Yeah, a bit like the Cambridge game. Yeah, really. At the end of the day, on the Saturday, final game of the season, Walsall 4-0.
Yeah.
Stuffed them.
Yeah, that's right.
A great atmosphere. If you look at the most memorable moments in your playing career, if you had to pick one where you got home at the end of the day and you thought, I love it, I'm loving life, what would it be with Sheffield Wednesday? Would it be...
There was many, David. As I say, I had a great time at Wednesday, probably most successful of my career. I mean, I got to 2 semi-finals of the FA Cup, League Cup. Not the League Cup, sorry, that was with Oxford. But the time I had at Bristol, I've also tried to give 110% to the fans, because I think that they're the paying customers and they support the club through thick and thin. Always give it, you know, always give it as much as you can back to them. And Sheffield Wednesday took me the same way. They loved the way I played.
Yeah.
And Bristol City was exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, Bristol was absolutely brilliant. And it was funny because when I went to Bristol, a couple of people said, you know, it's going to take you time to get to know the Bristol people. Mm. And they'll be a bit standoffish, you know, at first. But once you get to know...
That's a fair assessment, yeah.
You know.
When you're in, you're in.
Well, exactly. And once I got into it and I felt it was brilliant.
You love the place.
I loved it.
Yeah, well, we talk about the subsequent seasons, you know, because that, you know, that was the season. Let's look at 1991 season. Again, 43 goals, 43 appearances, 8 goals. We signed, I think in the summer, Mark Hazelwood, Andy May.
Yeah.
I think Nicky Morgan came in, maybe not at the start of the season. Martin Scott, maybe later on in the season. Started the season well. I can remember the away match. In fact, no, I can remember pre-season. I think Joe signed a new contract to be manager because Jimmy said, I said, because there was talk of Joe leaving. Mm. And I said, is Joe going to go? He said, no, he's signed. Go and ask him yourself. And I thought, great, because we we kept him.
Yeah.
And we started the season quite well. And I can remember just down the road from here, we went to West Brom and we were getting on. We weren't travelling on the coach in those days, but the players were. And all the talk was, he was going to Hearts. I mean, what was the start of that season? You're always buoyant after a promotion. But were the rumblings that Joe was
never heard a thing. That's what surprised me, you know, that I didn't know whether he'd had a fallout with the chairman or whatever. But no, there was no sign that Joe was unhappy or anything like that. As you say, we just got promoted, started reasonable in the league. And it was that, for me, it come out of the blue. And
Jimmy got the job.
Jimmy got the job. I mean, all the players wanted Jimmy to get the job.
Right.
We didn't want, like, an outsider, coming in and messing it all up.
Who underpinned Jimmy that year? I can't remember. I should know that. But I don't.
I can't remember. I think the older guy, like, I know Jerry Sweeney used to come in.
Sweeney was around.
There was a couple more
that
was around at the time. But Jerry more than anybody, because Jerry was into coaching as well. And I think he helped Jimmy out quite a bit. But
We tailed off after Joe left. But then February and March, we only lost one of 8 games. I was checking this morning.
Hmm.
And you look at the league table, 67 points. We were 2 off the playoffs. It was a year when sub 70 got you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We finished 9th. Do you think it would be true to say that if Joe had stayed, we probably would have done straight through?
We could have done. Who knows? I mean, obviously, Jimmy was totally different, I said to you before, to Joe. Maybe he could have, when things weren't probably going so well and Jimmy was a bit not so critical and whatever as he should have been, Joe would have been totally opposite.
Yeah.
Now, that might have pushed us on a little bit more. And as you say, we could have maybe got a little bit extra.
It's two more. I mean, it's just 2 more points, isn't it? It's fine margins.
It's not a lot. It's not a lot.
You know.
So,
but then 91-92 season, this is a season you had bad injury then because 18 appearances, still weighed in with 6 goals because you're a 1 in 6, 7. That's a good, bloody good for a midfielder. What was that injury? Was that the start of pre-season or was
tail end? Which I spoke to you about. I'd had problems, as I say, with both legs. It was my Achilles's. And what it was a build-up over the seasons that playing of a lot of scar tissue and whatever, building up. And it was causing me a lot of pain from both legs, which made it difficult to run. It was like running on glass.
Oh.
And Buster Footman, brilliant fella. He got me, we got measured up and we had orthotics put in, open into my boot, which leveled the way they put me on a running machine and they saw that, bandy leg probably, and they put me on there and they tried to level me off. Now they worked for, a little while, but it came back again. So in the end, I had to have one done, my left one done first, and then he had my right one done. Probably 6 weeks after. Once I got over this one, I thought, oh, great. I think, but this one, the right one was still going. So I had to go back in again. So obviously that disrupted my season.
Mm.
But once I'd had it done, I was fine.
And Jimmy was up against it really that season because, it was, I think he sold Bob in the, maybe he sold Bob mid-season, I think it was. Wayne had come in then.
Wayne Allen.
Nicky Morgan was up front, but Jimmy was eased out and Dennis came in.
Dennis Smith.
Dennis, his first game in charge, I think, was against Wolves. I don't know. Jimmy lost at Newcastle 3-0. I think it was Kevin Keegan's first game in charge. He stayed at the old Swallow out at hotel.
Yeah.
I was staying, not with the team, I was staying in a hotel because I was there on business. But yeah. Jimmy went. Things weren't what they were by then, was it?
No.
I mean, you weren't as involved because of the injury, but what was Dennis Smith's reputation coming in? Because hard man, good record.
Dennis came in and totally opposite to, as you say, to Jimmy. Different attitudes, different styles. I got on well with Dennis, but obviously I'm recovering from injury at the time. Mm. So he, you know, then he just said, like, just get yourself right and we'll see how we get on.
Yeah, he signed, I reckon, as cover for you, Ray Atterveld. That didn't go well,
no,
did it?
No, no, Ray.
But yeah, he did make some good signings because he signed Andy Cole on loan.
Yeah.
Leroy Rosinha.
Yeah.
And Andy Cole and Rosinha's goals.
Yeah.
Russell came in.
Russell Osman.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jackie.
Jackie Jackanowski, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What, any stories about Jackie that you can share?
No,
with us?
No, I can't say anything about that. But he brought in some, you know,
he kept us up because we looked like we were going. We looked like we were going. But I remember the last game of the season. I was there for that one. It was away at Watford, 5-2 defeat. David James in goal for Watford. Three players sent off. I don't think you were one. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, that was the very last game of that season. That, yeah, 5-2. Yeah, so we'd stayed up.
But we got three sent off.
We finished the game with eight, and Atterveld was one of them. I think Hazelwood and Addison. I'll stand corrected on that.
Right. Yeah, playing that.
I don't think you did.
I'm not going to say
that. You know, have you ever been sent off in your career?
Once. Yeah, that was when, right at the end, we were playing for Chester.
Uh-huh.
And it was down at Torquay. And it was right at the end. And the kid who I tackled up his chest somewhere is a kid from Sheffield. And I knew him. And I got sent off.
Yeah, a good boy other than that.
I was a good boy, yeah.
For a midfielder.
I obviously got booked in that because that's the way I was. Competitive and whatever.
Dennis in charge. He signs Andy Cole.
Yeah.
Permanent. What was Andy like, your recollections of him? Nottingham lad like yourself.
Nottingham, yeah.
Was he having something special? I remember we beat Cardiff 5-1 at home in the early round of the EFL Cup, or whatever it was called back in the day. But he had that special...
Yeah. I mean, again, he was only young.
When he 20.
Came. Yeah, when he came. A lot of people didn't know of him just as a reserve at Arsenal.
Yeah.
You know, and we paid £500, I think, for him. Which opened a few eyes, but
didn't have a selling clause, sadly.
No, I know. But since when he came, you could just see that he'd got something a bit different. Yeah. You know, he was quick, he was strong for his frame, and he got a fantastic eye for goal.
Yeah, no, he was good. He was a good player to watch. 92-93 season. Then so Dennis starts it. He's got yourself, Schultz. You, and Russell. 42 games a game from you, 4 goals, decent return. Not a great season. Dennis gets hoofed out. I got the impression he did fall out with the chairman, I think he did. Was it because, did he have to sell Andy Cole? Was that what the...
Yeah, that was the argument.
And we had a decent fee, but if we'd have had...
What did we get?
About we got seven? One point. No, I think we got about 1.8.
Oh, 1.8 wasn't it?
Right, but we didn't even put a sell-on clause. I think if this is right, we held out for a high number, rather than a lower number with a sell-on clause. And if we'd have held on for the sell-on clause, then when you went from Newcastle to United, if it had been 20%, we'd have taken 2 or 3 million.
Yeah.
And that would have been enough money for Joe to keep us up in his second spell.
Yeah.
Because he had Robert Fleck on loan. You remember him?
Yes.
We had no money, couldn't afford to sign him. We went down.
Yeah.
But that was just being greedy.
That's when Joe came back, wasn't it?
That's Joe came back in 94. That's right. Yeah. And then Cole went to Man United in 95.
Yeah.
And that's when we would have got that payback from there. Yeah, but it didn't happen. But then I'll call it the three amigos. Maybe it wasn't. But you, Ace and Russell... are put in charge.
Again, totally out of the blue. I mean, I didn't know anything about it, but I think Russell, he was the main one. I mean, me and Hayes weren't bothered about it.
Right.
We, you know, but that's what the board just brought us, the three of us in.
Three senior pros.
Yeah, just three senior pros. And I forget the chairman was then.
Probably Les Q.
Les, yeah, of course. Mm. And... he just sat us down. He said, look, this is a situation we're in, blah, blah, blah. We'd like you three, as you said, senior players to oversee until we get, you know, a suitable candidate and blah, 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 interviewing this and that. And I just looked at A's and I said, look, I'm thinking to myself, do I really want to do this?
Did you have coaching badges and that sort of thing?
Yeah,
you
think, I mean, I did.
So you were thinking,
I was thinking about the next, you know, as you say, the next stage. But I just wanted to play. As you say, I'd been out and it's been stop-start. And I just wanted to play football. That's what I wanted to do. But we took it on. But Russell, you could tell from the beginning, I think Russell wanted it more than me and Ace, if you know what I mean. And eventually that's what
But he got. Didn't have, so because you wouldn't have had a number, when he eventually had a number two, did he have a number two in the end? When he, because I felt, I'll be perfectly honest, I felt that, you know, when he got the gig, A's went and you went pretty damn quick. And
oh, yeah, well, thought, obviously, because the three of us had been installed as temporary. Once he got the job, he thought, well, I don't want them to win that now. It's going to be, you know.
I'll be honest, I thought more in more recent years, I thought Lee Johnson was a bit like that with Wade Elliott. Because when Lee got the manager's job, Wade was, he'd been caretaker with Pembo.
Yeah.
Got him out. And that's football. But that's football, isn't
it? That's the way it is. You know, I mean, a manager that's starting trying to do his own thing, you don't want two. Well, that was part of the consortium, if you like, of managers. Who doesn't want you getting in the way? And
so that was you done at City, but 150 appearances, 24 goals. You know, decent return.
Yeah, fantastic. As I said, I loved it there, and I still do. I've been down a couple of times, not bumped into people, but
yeah,
I've been down.
And then the end of your career, sort of playing wise, Chester. You had a few years there, didn't you? Well, six years there, according to Wiki.
that was again. What's his name was the manager then? Well, he was like all of us, because when I went to Chester before I met Mike Pedgick,
who was ex-Stoke,
who just got the job, because Chester at the time would have they'd done well the season before but again something happened there and Mike took over, and when I went, there was only four players signed on.
Yeah.
Four professional players. And the season's starting in a couple of months.
Yeah.
So obviously Mike had got to, you know, try and get something together, get a squad together. And I met him in Stoke at an hotel, and we got chatting, and as I say, I'd been pushed out then by Russell at Bristol, so...
You'd like to have stayed.
Obviously.
You could have done. Because how old were you when you left City? You were, was it
94, 36. Yeah, somewhere around there. You know, and I thought.
You were at that state. I could see why Russell would have seen you as a threat. Because you were. And both of you had good careers, didn't you?
Yeah. But as I say, I went to Chester and I thought it gives me an opportunity to carry on playing.
Yeah.
I mean, I played my last game at Chester when I was 40, going into 41.
And did you realise that's it, the legs?
No, I was fine. You know, it was just the fact that Kev had gone.
Kevin Ratcliffe.
Yeah, Kev went, because again, we had a chairman who was just took money out of the club. Then we had a lunatic come in, an American, Terry, who didn't have a clue about football.
Yeah,
honestly, it was baseball and American football.
A bit like Todd Bowley at Chelsea. Yeah,
it just ruined the club, basically. Terry Smith, his name was. They did a documentary on it, which is on YouTube. It was a loon, absolute balloon, and I just couldn't get on with it. All the staff that had a great set, like Kev had gone, I was still there. David Fogg, first team coach. He went and just left me on my own with this loon. And at the time, I just thought, just see how it goes. And then in the end, he was still there when I left. But I went to America on holiday. we're out in Florida, and I get a phone call from Joe's brother saying Gary Megson's trying to get hold of you. And I said, what's that about? He said he wants you to go to West Brom.
I was going to say that was you.
Yeah, and that was how it all come about.
So you did a few years at West Brom, then?
I did. What would it be? 6 years.
And did you have Alan Crawford there as well?
Alan was there. He was YouTube.
What's he up to? What's Crawford?
I don't know. I did keep in touch with Alan. It's years ago. I don't know what he's doing now, because if I remember right, he was coaching somewhere. And I remember seeing him on telly. I thought, oh, there's Crawford.
He was a good little player. He was with Glenn Riley. Left. Back in the day. Back in the day. So, and when you finished at West Brom, as you told me earlier, you thought, that's it. I'm done with the game.
Yeah, because as I say, I thought that obviously it is now. The game's changed so much, you know, the amount they get paid. Everything's got to be, you've got to win. It's a win-win situation. If you don't win.
We are only three defeats in a row from sort of Damocles getting the sack as a manager now, aren't you? It's a price that's after three defeats.
Yeah.
Probably after two.
It's all finance, you see. Money's got to come in because, as I say, you've got to pay for all the players' wages. So, I mean, unless you're Man City or, you know, one of the big ones.
Well, every club's a selling club, aren't
you? Everybody's selling, sure.
You know, there's no longevity in it. No. And in terms of watching football now, I mean, you're relatively close to Villa Park. Have you seen City or Sheffield Wednesday in the flesh in the last 10 years at all?
I've been to Sheffield a couple of times. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I went to City. But as you say, I keep getting offered to, you know, go down.
Former Players Association, God, come down. You're loved, right? Men down. Of a certain age, or people of a certain age, over 40, just about, will remember that 89-90 promotion season. Do you watch City or Sheffield whenever they're... I mean, Sheffield, what a week for them, you know, 4-0.
Fantastic.
You know, 4-0 down.
Yeah, I watch them both.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch both games, the Peterborough game, and you're thinking 4-0 down.
2-0 after 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you're thinking, well, you've blown it again.
Because
they've got an habit of doing that. And everybody's saying, because I follow them on Facebook, and I got that's me thingy in there, the big time for when we got promoted into the first division. I'm looking on Facebook and all the supporters still, some of them are still saying, we'll still do it. I'm thinking, you've got no 4-0. Chance.
It's a bit like Russell Osmond and escaped a victory once.
But what did it was that early goal.
Yeah.
At Hillsborough, the early goal, crowd, and that was it.
They crumbled, Peterborough, didn't they? There was only going to be one winner, and they almost, because they went back in front, didn't they, Peterborough? Well, brought it level, and then you got in front again. And Aidan Flint was, he didn't score. He scored one of the pens.
I think he did.
Because it's 5 out of 5 with penalties as well, wasn't it? Which takes some doing.
Yeah.
And then Dean Windass.
He gets the winner.
Because the final.
With it going to extra time, the longer it goes on, you think, gets to penalties. And I didn't fancy Wednesday. If it went to penalties, I just didn't fancy him. And then, as I say, out of the blue, he just scores Windass.
Yeah. Taking it back to Bristol City, I mean, we've... Dean Windass, that was put us out in 2008. I mean, that's 15 years ago now.
Yeah.
We've been in a financial mess. We've corrected that.
Yeah.
You probably didn't play against Nigel Pearson, did you, as a player? Because he'd have been...
Yeah, played against Nigel.
What was he like as a player, and how do you rate him? How do you look at him as a manager? Because he's almost old school, isn't he, compared with some. But tell us about Nigel.
When I was at West Brom, Brian came in and brought Nigel with him. So I worked
young
with
Nigel.
I worked
a with young Nigel. Managerial Nigel. Yeah.
I worked with Nigel. So, and Nigel did all the coaching virtually. Brian did bits and pieces, but Nigel was the mainstay, and he was brilliant. It was an FA. He's a big FA.
And well loved in Sheffield as well, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it was. You could just see that he commanded something the way he was and whatever and what he said. You know, you did, and I thought he was brilliant.
And he took over from Brian as caretaker for a bit, didn't he? Yeah.
That's
from that perspective. That's, okay. Picking up again. So Nigel, he I mean, Bristol City have had a succession of managers, but I think the general view is that he's got us on the right road ahead. But, you know, a lot of how Bristol City do next season is going to be determined by maybe how much they get for Alex Scott. I mean, is he a player? Did you watch the City game against Man City? The hype. I had a Wolves fan say to me the other day, what's Alex Scott like? You know, and I said, well, you know, yeah, look at the hype. But I mean, have you seen?
Well, I've only watched the kid on the telly. I mean, he looks a bit special. And as I say, he's only a kid. But again, Bristol will end up selling him. You know, they've got to sell to, I won't say survive, but they'll want to probably sell him on. And it's a shame because I think if you got sort of a play like that, you could build a team around him, if you know what I mean.
What about the loan back scenario? Yeah, because if he goes to a club like Wolves, he's probably going to be in the squad or thereabouts. But if he goes to a top six, he's going to bench warm, like most of the England under 20 do that are there.
Yeah.
Would you think that
if he got that option to load him back, then definitely, you know, as I say, he's a kid that you can build a team around. Whether Nigel can do that or what, if that's a possibility, I don't know.
Yeah. And interesting, a lot of the clubs, Sheffield as well, all the clubs that did, you know, Luton, Coventry as well, they're into loan players. Nigel did not have a single loan player last season. We're the only club in the Championship that didn't have them. Yeah. And his view on that is you don't want to develop other clubs' players. Surely if a player is good enough, it can only add to the value. Yes?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, I agree. I mean, and Nigel, as I've said to you before, is a great coach. And he would get and improve, you know, younger players.
Yeah.
Now, he probably thinks, well, like you say, why should I improve somebody else's player?
Yeah.
You know, some other club's player when I could have him here. Yeah. And again, like Scott, sell him for whatever later on. It is. But as I say, Nige, he does get the best out of it, man. And I follow Bristol City, obviously, and I read the papers and whatever and what's on Facebook and thingy. He gets criticised quite a bit, whether it's justified, because, as I say, I don't go and watch them that often. But it's only so much that a manager can do with the players that he's got, if you know what I mean. Mm. So some say it's his tactics, the way he plays and this and that, but I've always known Nigel to be attacking. Yes, he is that defensive.
Well, he built the Leicester side.
He is that defensive, obviously, because he was a centre-half. So he knows that side of the game. But I don't think he's, you know, that bad.
No, I think, I'll be honest, you know, we've all criticised him. We criticise him on the podcast. He gets criticised in the media. But deep down, right, he's had to clear up a bit of a mess, and the number of youngsters that he's brought on, because you've talked about Alex Scott, Cameron Pring, being out on five loans, and he was 24 before Nigel put his arm around him.
Yeah.
He does the tough love stuff as well,
because
he's left players out because they've not been on it enough.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that you may have heard his name, who I think is going to be the next big money outage, and that's Tommy Conway, the forward.
Yeah.
Who's got all the attributes that are there.
Yeah.
But, Gary, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I know we could have talked for ages and ages. I wish you could share one of the stories about Bales or Jackanowski, but I'm sure not on tape. That's X-rated stuff. So I'm going to switch the tape off now, and I'm sure he's going to tell me about one of those. But Gary, you must come down to one of Neil Palmer and the former Players Association's dues, maybe against Sheffield Wednesday next season. That would be a good one to come down for.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If you come down on a train, I'll pick you up from the station, take you down there. I might even get in the players' lounge, as certain other people do as well. But come down to it, because you are a loved midfielder from a very good side. You had some good seasons there. I enjoyed watching you, like, say, Rennie, all the players we've talked about, Dave Rennie, Rob Newman, Bob Taylor. That was a great side. and you were part of that. And I said, it's been really great talking to you this morning. Thank
I've
you
enjoyed it,
so
David.
Much. It's been very good.
Today. Gonna put my cares in a whistle, blow them all away. What if I've been unlucky? Really, I ain't got a thing. There's a time I always feel happy as a king. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, cheer up. The sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin's out, bob, bob, bobbing along. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.